Friends, it's lovely to be with you this morning. I'd just like to thank Harry for his welcome here. I met Harry there October-November time. I was involved in a funeral service in Marlin, and we were chatting over tea after the funeral, and he asked me, he says, would you do a couple of services for me? So you're not safe no matter where you go. But friends, it is lovely to be with you this morning. Let us just pray together. Father, we come together this morning and we thank you that you're here. We come and acknowledge that you are God and there is nothing in us without you. Father, I ask you now as we look upon your word that you will just hide us behind the cross. And Father, that you will just remove any hindrance from myself that would hinder your word from going forth this morning. Father, I pray that you will just still our hearts and that you will block out any distraction or hindrance that would stop us from hearing from you. Father, we thank you for your promise that where two or three are gathered in your name, that you're in the midst. So we have victory today in Jesus' name. Amen. Friends, ready to go. How many times have you heard that word this morning? Man, how many times this morning have you shouted to your wives, are you ready to go? You know, by the time the hair's done and you get the right dress and you maybe it needs changed a time or two, you know, we are sitting all suited and booted, ready to go and getting impatient. Our parents, what about children? You've shouted this morning, oh, he's ready to go. You know, that's a common thing for it to happen in every house. But friends, this morning I want us to look at something a little more serious. As was read for us there in 2 Timothy, there will be terrible times in the last days. People will be lovers of themselves, lovers of money, boastful, proud, abusive, disobedient to their parents, and it goes on. You know, I believe that the last days are approaching. All we have to do is look around us and see our world is in turmoil, financially, spiritually, and morally. But friends, do not fear. For it is easy to get caught up in the things that is going on around us. And sometimes we can forget about God. But we have a God in heaven who is only a prayer away. Friends, I want us to take a look at that word ready this morning. Ready to go. We'll look at that word ready. The first letter is R. And I want us to look at redeemed. Many of you will know the hymn, Redeemed, How I Love to Proclaim It. Redeemed by the blood of the Lamb. Redeemed by his infinite mercy. His child and forever I am. The word redeemed simply means to buy or to pay for. Friends, this morning that takes us to Calvary. In John's Gospel we read, carrying his own cross he went out to the place of the skull. Here they crucified him. Why did he do it? He done it for you and me. We are redeemed this morning if we have accepted the Lord Jesus Christ as our own and personal Savior. He paid the price for our sin. In 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 24, he himself bore our sins in his own body on the tree so that we might die to sin and live for righteousness. By his wounds we have been healed. Are you redeemed this morning? You know, one thing that I'm always reminded of when I stand in front of a congregation of people, there are only two types of people in front of me. There are those that are redeemed, those that are saved by the grace of God and have a promised hope of heaven, are those that haven't accepted Jesus Christ as their own and personal Savior. The Bible makes it very clear in John chapter 3 and verse 3, except a man is born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. I trust before we leave here today, we will all be able to say that hymn that we quoted earlier, redeemed, how I love to proclaim it, redeemed by the blood of the Lamb. You know, the second letter is E in ready, eternal. John chapter 3 and verse 16, we all know it well. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him shall not perish, but have eternal life. John chapter 5 and verse 24 also says, I tell you the truth, whoever hears my words and believes him who sent me has eternal life and will not be condemned. He has crossed over from death unto life. Friends, we have a great God. Not only does he save us, but he has given us eternal or everlasting life. We go on to the next letter, A. If you're redeemed this morning and have the gift of eternal life, have you got the assurance of your salvation? Your salvation is of God. We're reminded in John chapter 6 and verse 37, all that the Father gives me will come to me, and whoever comes to me I will never drive away. John chapter 14 and verse 2, it's a great verse. In my Father's house are many rooms. If it were not so, I would have told you. I am going there to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come back and take you to be with me, that you also may be where I am. There is nothing this morning that you can do to earn your salvation. It is all of God through the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. We are redeemed by the blood of Jesus Christ. We have the promise of eternal life. We have the assurance of our salvation. Let me ask you, have you got that today? If you've got that today, friends, the next letter is D. Are you determined to live for him? We read there a little earlier in Psalm 119. Psalm 119 shows us how determined the psalmist was to follow his master. Let us look at this and ask ourselves the question, have we the same determination as the psalmist had? We see there in verse 33, teach me, O Lord. You know, whenever I read that, teach me, O Lord, it just gave me the picture of just falling down on your knees before the master and saying, give me more of you, fill me, and I will never let you down to the end of my life. How do we let God teach us this morning? Romans chapter 10 and verse 17 says, consequently, faith comes from hearing the message, and the message is heard through the word of God. Are you giving time to reading the Bible? Are you praying and asking God to teach you through his word? His word is a lamp unto our feet and a light unto our path. The psalmist goes on in verse 34, give me understanding. We need to ask for that understanding of the word so that we can live by it, not half-heartedly, but wholeheartedly. You know, we can read chapter after chapter in the Bible and maybe not really get anywhere. I remember I used to be concerned I didn't read enough, but one night I was at a meeting and there was a missionary there who lectured people who went out onto the mission field, and he said this quote. He said, you can read much and learn little, but you can read little and learn much. Friends, it's not the amount of the Bible you read. It's the small portion that speaks to you. It may only be a verse. But friends, always remember that you can read much and learn little, but you can read little and learn much. Verse 35 says, direct me. Direct me in the paths of your commandments. Sometimes when we get a command or we're told to do something, maybe we're not pleased to do it. How many times have you been told to do something? Ach, no, you've decided I'll do it my way. You know, many of us would claim to be handymen and we maybe get something to build and we don't bother looking at the instructions. And maybe when we have it finished, we have half the nuts and bolts left and the thing half built. You know, sometimes we need to, or all times we need to follow the instructions. Friends, we need to follow the commands of God in his word. We have to take a look at what he has done for us and follow his commands. Friends, are you glad to be saved this morning? Do you want to have more of God? We need to let God make us into the person that he wants us to be through the understanding of his word. Verse 36 goes on to say, turn my heart towards your statutes. Friends, I love the way it says it in the King James. It says, incline my heart. Whenever I read that word incline, I started to think of the Boys' Brigade. And many of you here were in the Boys' Brigade, and when you were doing drill, you got the left turn, the right turn, and then you had right incline and left incline. It was just turning a little. We often have our own view about Scripture, or our own idea what Scripture has to say. We need to look beyond our views and take a fresh look at God's Word. With an open mind, it may mean we might have to incline a little to the left or to the right in order to follow God's word. The last part of that verse 36 says, and not toward selfish gain. Friends, we cannot have the love of God and leave room for the love of the world in our lives. The world is a very attractive place. The devil is very subtle. He is going about like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. Friends, keep your eyes on God. Don't put a foot in the world's temptations. I believe there is greater temptations out there than ever there was, especially for the Christian today, because we have Sunday sport, we have alcohol, we have the internet. We have so many things that is out there to attract us and lure us away from God. I'm not standing up here as judge or jury. I got great advice one time from a minister friend of mine. We were having a discussion about places the Christian should go or shouldn't go. And he said this: if there is somewhere you're considering going, or something that you're going to do and you're not sure, stop and ask yourself the question, if the Lord was to return and you were there or were doing that, would you want the Lord to find you there? That, to me, was always great advice. Don't let the devil allure you away from following the statutes of God. Verse 37 goes on to say, turn my eyes away from worthless things and revive me in your way. Don't let your lives get cluttered up with unnecessary things. You may be saved, but you have let the things of the world come into your life. You may not be walking with God the way you once were. Just stop where you are and ask God to turn your eye away from worthless things, and he will preserve your life again. And then you can go on and read verse 38, fulfill your promise to your servant so that he may be feared. Take away the disgrace I dread, for your laws are good. Sometimes we have to come to the point where we need to ask God to empty us of self and realize his word is everything to us. Are you longing for God this morning? Are you walking daily with him? Verse 40 says, I long for your precepts. Preserve my life in your righteousness. The word precept is an instruction intended as a command. Friends, this morning, can you say with that great hymn, all to Jesus I surrender, all to him I freely give, I will ever love and trust him, in his presence daily live. Friends, that last letter of ready is why. I want to make that personal this morning. That is you. I don't want you to think of the person beside you, the person in front of you, or the person behind you. I want you just to concentrate on yourself for a few minutes today. I just want to ask you just to bow your heads prayerfully to God. Just ask yourself the question, are you redeemed this morning? Have you that promise of eternal life? Have you the assurance of your salvation? Friends, are you ready to go if the Lord Jesus broke through the clouds this morning? Just as we're all bowed, heads bowed, and in the attitude of prayer, friends, where do you stand this morning? Are you saved by the grace of God? If the Lord was to return, would you hear, well done, thy good and faithful servant? Or would you hear, depart from me, I never knew you? Friends, we are gathered together in church this morning. We have the opportunity to come and put our trust in the Savior. I just want to ask you now, prayerfully consider your standing before God. I want to give you the opportunity, if you're not saved this morning, to come and put your trust in Him. I'm not going to ask you to come to the front. I'm not going to ask you to do anything. It's between you and God. Friends, I will just pray together, and if you want to come and put your trust in Him this morning, just pray along with me this morning. Father God, I have come to the point where I realize I am a sinner and in need of a Savior. I say to you that I am sorry for my sin and the way I have lived before you. I ask you to accept me now as my own and personal Savior, in Jesus' name. Friends, if you have made a decision this morning, please speak to someone after. But friends, I want, just before I finish, I want to ask those of you that are saved by the grace of God, are you determined to live for Him? Are you following His word this morning? And friends, maybe we could just bow again before God and just examine ourselves before Him again. There's one verse that spoke a lot to me, and it's in Joshua chapter 3 and verse 5. It says, "Sanctify yourselves, for tomorrow I will do amazing things with you." Friends, just recommit your life to Him, and He will do wonders through you. Let us pray. Father, we thank you for your word this morning. We thank you for each head that is bowed in your presence. And we thank you, Lord, that you know each person's heart that is here. And we pray, Lord, that there will no one leave this place today without knowing you as their own and personal Savior. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.